At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are underway already in the second half. Some of the games back up and running. There's been a change for Celtic at the break, and it's Luis Palma who makes way for Yang. So very much like for like. Whether that is injury related or maybe just wanted to mix things up, we will find out, I'm sure. See what Brendan Rodgers has to say. And actually a positive start at the beginning of the half for Kilmarnock. Joe Hart possibly could have caught that one. He punches it and it goes out for a corner to Kilmarnock. Yang, Mark, got some really positive feedback from the Asian Cup. Meant to have had some, you know, nice sub appearances there for South Korea. He's come back and no one's really properly grabbing that position as sort of number one winger. So maybe it is just tactical. Maybe see what he can do in the second half. Yeah. Or maybe Palmer's struggling.
Well, I said it was a big day for Palmer because, you know, he's been underperforming in recent weeks and he maybe have found himself lucky to start. I thought Yang, when he came on last week, certainly looked lively. Probably when Daz would have played, the manager would have been questioning what studs he had on because he kept slipping. But that was down to the pitch, not himself. He was positive. And by the way, since he's came to Celtic, the one thing I like about Yang is, as a winger, he's always positive. Now, he might lose it a lot, he might run it out the pitch, but he doesn't shy away from taking on the fullback. And that's, well, who knows if it's an injury to Palmer or Brendan Rodgers just seen enough from Palmer in the first half and thought Yang deserves his chance.
Yeah, because it clearly hasn't always worked, Gordon, but the only thing that's worse than that is somebody who doesn't try and doesn't take anyone on. I know that's been a bugbear of yours in recent times.
Yeah, well, if he's had some good reports coming back from the Asia Cup, he comes back with bags of confidence then, Gordon. Hopefully kick on his Celtic career. Sometimes it just takes a little time to settle in at a club, especially the size of Celtic, especially the competition in the wide areas, because you know every time you step on that pitch, you're under pressure because they've got so many, many options and very good players in those wide areas. So interesting to see what he does second half. I've got a funny feel Palmer might have been a caution. I don't see 1-0 down. They could have probably finished the game with a 2-0 with O'Reilly at the end of the half. Would they have made that substitution right away?
Who knows? Lennon Miller heads over from a corner. I'm sure his old man scored a header or two at Tynecastle for the home side in his time. But his boy trying to do it for the visitors heads over from that corner kick and still goalless. An interesting half by the sounds of it. I think fairly predictably Hearts had most of the ball and the territory, but Roger Hanna telling us Motherwell had the best chances. So will we get the breakthrough in that one? First introduction from Yang, by the way, was to run all the way up the pitch, carry the ball and then win a corner down the other end. That sort of positive outlook that Mark Wilson was speaking of.
I think Palmer probably left the game because the end product's not there with him. You know, you can over elaborate at times, and perhaps Yang more direct, and clearly Brendan Rodgers feels a change is necessary because 1-0, you know, it's a precarious lead.
Yeah, the only way we'll know, I'm guessing, is when Brendan Rodgers tells us after the game, whether there was a niggle or an injury to Luis Palma or if he just decided to mix it up.
Has been the one area, it's been a massive downgrade, you've got to say. When Jota left, Jota kind of had it all. He had the tricks, he had the flicks, but he had the end product. He had goals, a variety of goals, but he had assists as well in his locker. So it wasn't just for the crowd. He really had that end product. But look, if the model's there and you sell a winger like that for 25 million, you've got to hold your hands up and say that's good business. But replacing him, very difficult.
Well, you'd imagine you'll see Nicholas Kuhn for Maeda at some point. Because Hugh, this was the week it became very clear that not only will we certainly not see Leah Labada today, but perhaps ever again in a Celtic strip. Who knows? There's no point in speculating, but it's clearly going to take quite a lot for this to sort itself out. Hugely complex issue, as I think we've covered many times. And you wonder if Celtic are looking at life after Leal Abada.
I feel desperately sorry for Abada, and I thought that Brendan Rodgers hit the correct tone when he said, I think of him as a son. You know, his son's in that age bracket. As I said to you last night in Super Scoreboard, I have two grandchildren of that age, and, you know, if they were somewhere and I was fretting over them, it's a very difficult, difficult situation. I think Celtic now have to look for a football solution to a deeply personal problem, and the solution might be to let Abada go for a while and see if there comes a time when world affairs allow him to go back to Celtic, or whether Celtic simply say, we have an extraordinary situation, we'll need to let him go.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's Aberdeen who score. They take the lead. Jamie McGrath from close range. It was good build-up play. Duke back in the team, doing well. He was the provider, and McGrath from close range with the finish. And it's Aberdeen 2, Hibs 1.
Game of the day so far. And you know, it swings both ways. You have Mick Montgomery now with the Hibs fans saying he's not making enough of an impact here, not winning enough football matches. But it's 2-1. The way Aberdeen go at it right now, we'll probably get another 3 or 4 goals in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that'll be the end of it, Hugh. But the magic of the half-time team talk, two managers getting in there, and obviously the experienced one, Neil Warnock, has come out on top so far. But I agree with Hugh. I think with those two teams' defences, the way they play, I think there's a couple of more goals in that game.
Good start to the second half for Aberdeen anyway. Neil Warnock will be happier with the beginning than he would have been at the start of the game when they went one behind.
Yeah, without doubt. Just on the Abada one, you know, that's going to be another big miss for Celtic. I know Abada isn't everybody's cup of tea in terms of a wide player. He's not got the tricks and flicks that Jota had, no doubt about that. But he still provided plenty assists for Kyogo and Maeda and plenty goals in his 2.5 years. I think around about the 30 goal mark, 15 goals his first season, 14 his second. That's a good return for a wide player. So if you take that out of the team, as well as Jota's influence out of the team, and you're not getting the same return from Kuhn or Palma, not so much Maeda this year as well, then it's a lot of goals you're taking out and a lot of chances created you're taking out your team.
The terrible irony for Celtic is that the fans are crying out for quality, more quality, and yet it's because of a group of fans that they are losing the quality of Abada, because he feels he cannot play in front of that group of fans, and that's why on a temporary or on a permanent basis he'll be out of Celtic Park shortly.
Is it probably a bit more complex than that as well? Because I'm sure those fans would say, well, look at the reception he got when he came on. They're trying to make a distinction between backing him and sticking up for a cause. Granted, we can't understand how Leal Abada feels about that, and you can understand why he wouldn't be comfortable about the full thing.
I'm not denying people political conscience, and I'm not denying them the right to do what their conscience tells them to do, but the fact of the matter is, for that specific reason, Abada will not stay at Celtic.
Could be getting nervy at Dunfermline. We said they needed to beat Arbroath, have been pegged back. Thomas O'Brien on 52, Dunfermline 1, Arbroath 1.
James McPake, with the best will in the world, he couldn't
survive that.
No. A defeat, he couldn't. No,
I don't think so either.
Mark, get your employer sorted here. Inverness 2, Partick Thistle 0, I'm afraid. You Jags fans.
Only one positive. Chris Dillon will be thinking, what was 20 fish supper?
he could have even got them one between two.
Not a chance. Listen, just in the corridor, bumped into our very own Gary Spence, who said he knows that chippy well, and it was the right decision not to pay for it because it's a good chippy, but too expensive.
I agree with Gordon.
Bad food for the young boys. You don't want to promote that sort of
eating. You should have gone down that road to start with. You should have said, boys, you're athletes. You shouldn't have advertised the fact that you're too tight to
you
pay
know
for
what?
It.
See, when I went home and I thought about that, I thought I could have got out that easier by saying I'm trying to promote healthier eating.
There was a chance a few moments ago for Matt O'Reilly, by the way, that I neglected to tell you about, but it remains Celtic 1, Kilmarnock 0. And game of the day is probably out with the top flight. Falkirk 3, Hamilton Accies 2.
Come on, Hamilton.
First against second. What have you got against the Bairns?
Not just like John. John's a mate of mine.
Alright, okay. Aye. Is that the way it is?
Aye. Got this.
Sticking up for his mates. What about John?
Oh, what about producer John? Who employed you?
Well, he's a mate, but not as much as John Rankin.
John Netherman.
I shared a car with Ranks for a couple of years, going to Dundee United every morning.
So anybody you share a car with is a mate? Is
of course.
Did you ever buy him a fish supper?
John, when they touch a fish supper.
Oh. Yeah, what's his
one,
story?
One McDonald's a year at the end of the season and one Coca-Cola on holiday is all he allowed himself.
I forgot about this, Hugh Keevans. Let's get it up and running.
Okay.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
The second half teaser.
With the scottishsun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Dazzler, get the jigsaw ready because this is a puzzler.
Nah, I'm not really bored today.
Oh, come on.
Listen, the pick and mix can't have been that
I'm not feeling the love.
Looks like a guy who's been dumped in Valentine's Day or something. That kind of vibe for you.
Had. Did you say dumped?
Dumped.
Right, just double checking.
A D at the end of that. Aye, that's not. At the beginning of that, sorry, not P.
Right.
I have played alongside Didier Agat and Paul Hartley. I have been managed by Ian McCall and Alan Pardew. I won my only major honour in Scotland and captained the team to victory. I never played a professional game for a club in the country where I was born. Who am I? So, played alongside Didier Agat and Paul Hartley. Been managed by Ian McCall and Alan Pardew. Won my only major honour in Scotland and captained the team to victory. I never played a professional game for a club in the country of my birth. Who am I?
Who am I? Get it going. Come on, look at him. He's got a wee glint in his eye.
He had
now.
That twinkle in his eye there.
He can't, he can't resist the teaser when it comes along.
I think it's a good tease.
I'm going to hold my guess off to after sort of a narrow it down.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I've had a message in from friend of the show, Simon Donnelly. He wants to give Amanda a mention because she's got you lot in her ears in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Wow.
She's trekking across the Sahara Desert for the Celtic Foundation. Who would have thought that somebody is in the Sahara Desert listening to you whinging about the price of popcorn and pick and mix?
You couldn't imagine me sitting in the sand, can you? He'd be about 2 foot wide.
He's always got flip flops on.
The sand would be up to there in the money.
Wait for me, Sarah.
You act like you're 6'5". I reckon you are at the most an inch bigger than Simon Donnelly.
Genuinely, what? Is he bigger?
I don't even know if you are, honestly.
Then we said,
this is a genuine mental block of yours. Take it from a neutral observer. I promise you.
Simon Donnelly played with Celtic.
You can repeat it in any passive aggressive way that you want.
They could walk under this table here.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
He's taller than you think.
And you're smaller than you think.
No, I'm quite tall.
You're one of the old guys that shrink.
I've strained my back when I'm
with your gout and everything, you're shrinking.
I'm just under 6.
So Sid messaged you that just now. I wonder how far he's walking in the Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
What's well the fun in that?
Celtic Foundation.
Well, it's not for fun, is it? It's for charity. A concept. All right, okay. Pick
a better charity to walk.
I'm going
up
to do that.
Well,
I'm going Kilimanjaro, so I'm going to do the charity. I'm going to do Cash for Kids. So start sending envelopes of cash into me and I'll pass it on to Cash for Kids.
That's a good shout, isn't it? When is Kilimanjaro for you?
July.
Wow.
I would love
to see
that. Let's
see if we can raise £2 million for Cash for Kids.
I think Sid's done that already though. I think that's old hat to him.
No, he done the one in Peru.
How far did they walk?
He got sent down the mountain. No, Sid,
I'm starting to regret this conversation. I have no idea. I'm just the messenger.
I struggled at Murder Hill when I played with Rangers, and that was only going up and doing a wee hill and we sand in it. Never mind the Sahara Desert.
Yang's been pretty good for Celtic. He's been positive since he came on, injected a bit down that left hand side, but he's about to get a new partner there because Burnaby will come on. Greg Taylor's first game back, probably not surprising. he gets the old 60 minutes
chaos. Here the fans inside Celtic Park, they don't know what they're getting. They know they're going to get entertainment one way or the other.
Can I just say though, I'm not happy with this, because you adopted Burnaby early on. You stuck with him even when it looked beyond help. But you did disown him. You admitted it, that you were cutting all ties. But now that he had a semi-good game against St Mirren, you're trying to reclaim him again.
I've forgiven him for was it Ross County that he didn't chase back? I hated that. That's what really annoyed me. And it was like, you fall out with somebody, couple of weeks, and then you make up.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, he will come on. He has, in fact, come on. Burnaby for Greg Taylor. Close to Dundee second. McCowan's 25-yard shot heading for the top corner, but just goes wide. Just someone sent me a message on Twitter earlier because his mates dressed him up as Hugh Keevan at a party.
Is he standing next to us?
So he's got, as you would expect, shirt and tie, suit jacket, glasses, grey hair, and a sign on his back that says Specky Chew.
That's it. That's good. Yeah.
There you go.
It's in case anyone was didn't know who you were. The old
I've got chew. To. You got to question that boy.
I like
he's,
it.
But he's changed his attire now, Hughes. You know, to the more
he's
casual,
a bit more trendy. Look,
looser.
I'm not giving him casual just because he's untucked his shirt. I don't think that counts. But Andy Dalglish it was. So well done for being
Andy,
for being the only person who's ever dressed up as Hugh Keevans.
No, what I noticed last week, Hugh, what you were wearing, I was going to say, you were wearing a long sleeve polo shirt, which is quite nice, but you had a regular shirt underneath it.
It layers up because it's freezing in there.
I've never seen like that before.
Yeah, well,
he's
a trailblazer.
He's looking good. The back of his shirt's touching his heels and his shoes.
Oh, the employers are pulling one back. Have pulled one back.
Oh, yeah.
Inverness 2.
Always
Patrick
good for a goal.
One.
Fitzpatrick, always good for a goal.
Oda shot deflected into the side net for Hearts. O'Donnell on for Gent for Motherwell, which is
still the only game in the Premiership with no goals. I'm astonished. That would be my first choice for the opening goal of the day.
On the Inverness Partick game, when of course we were up there yesterday, I was just speaking to some of the people involved with Inverness. Duncan Ferguson, he's a man to behold. I mean, wants to take everything to do with the training. Now I know some people out there might just think, well, that's what manager's employed for, but you've got assistant coaches and so on and so forth to take certain bits of training. He's wanting to be so on with every single thing.
You're not going
to
disagree, are you?
No, that's what they said. But just let him do it.
It's an interesting change for Motherwell, because Georgie Gent, obviously wide left, Gordon comes off, Stephen O'Donnell, who's right footed, goes on. But remember, Jilly Biabu was signed. Motherwell signed loads of left sided loads of fullbacks, sorry. But it's actually Adam Devine has gone across to the left. Stephen O'Donnell comes on in the right. So Jilly Biabu,
yeah, I think
he looked all right when he came on against Morton. Wasn't a classic night.
Yeah,
to
down
be
the left hand side. Yeah, he looked okay, but I like Devine. I've got to say, he got a good goal at Pittodrie. Come on a sub against Morton. I thought he made the team look better down that right hand side. So I'm not surprised with that. Look, in the modern day, you can play a right sided player on the left, no problem at all.
Okay, let's check in on that teaser then, Hugh. A reminder, if you can, please.
Yes, as I go into my top left-hand pocket of the shirt to get it.
Could have just sat it in the desk in front of you. I
have played alongside Didier Agat and Paul Hartley. I've been managed by Ian McCall and Alan Pardew. I won my only major honour in Scotland and captained the team to victory. I've never played a professional game for a club in the country of my birth. Who am I?
Craig Meikle thinks it might be Jim McIntyre.
No.
James Milne wants to throw in Sean Maloney.
No, not Sean.
And Bobo Baldi.
No.
Keep the guesses coming, please. It is a good question. It's a tough one. Ange Ball had pulled at self level just after half time, but João Gomes has put Wolves back in front there. Celtic are penned in a little bit actually, so all of a sudden the crowd are getting a touch jittery because it is only 1-0. They've not got that second, and Killie have got their tails up a little bit. This is where the psychology comes into play.
Well, we always thought that Kilmarnock had it in them. They've got plenty of players in a forward-going sense who can trouble Celtic and thereby irritate the fans. So 1-0, as I say, precarious lead, long way to go.
Yep, this is often where leagues are won. You know, it really is. I'll keep going on about it. It's those tense moments at the end of games. How do you deal with, you know, the pressure? Of course, Hugh's right. You're playing against a side who have got a real attacking threat, and you've got the nerves of the crowd. It's about seeing it out sometimes.
And of course, with Kyogo and Ida playing, you wonder what a change would look like. You know, does Ida go off and it reverts to the sort of more traditional where Kyogo leads the line and then a Paulo Bernardo comes on? You know, if you were looking to do something different, would that be the obvious one?
Well, it depends the
or
shape of the
Zoe
game's
just
going.
Come on, and is Zoe on the bench actually? I think he
well,
is.
If Brendan Rodgers wants probably a grip of the game in the midfield, if he feels like he's getting a wee bit overrun in there, of course you would bring Bernardo on to partner McGregor and O'Reilly in there, a bit of composure. However, if you just think he does run his race and you want a bit more physicality, go a bit more direct, then O might be your man.
Yeah, Kelly, look back in this. It's a big chance there. A header from Joe Wright. We said there was a bit of height in that Kilmarnock team. Joe Wright with a chance there. Celtic might be feeling a little bit nervy.
Yeah, they need a second goal. Always takes the pressure away. Kilmarnock have grown confidence. And I said earlier in the show, Derek will be sitting there thinking, right, okay, I've got guys on the bench that can come on here and grab me that goal that would get me a terrific point. But I still fancy Celtic.
Some things in Scottish football are inevitable. With M&D Green Pharmacy. And Lawrence Shankland scoring goals is one of them. It's Hearts 1, Motherwell 0. It's an Alan Forrest free kick. He's also having a good time of it. He's the provider. And there is Lawrence Shankland. Time and time again. Poor marking though. Motherwell's defensive performances haven't been great. And Lawrence Shankland is not the man to give opportunities to. He's found the back of the net.
I know everyone is preoccupied already with thoughts of the Euros, Germany, the opening ceremony. Shankland is first on the list here. For the striker's role, there's no one you'd have before him now.
I think that's an interesting point because...
Well, just very quickly, let me tell you a couple of other things. Ida and Maeda off, Bernardo and Kuhn on. So Kuhn will go wide right and then back to that more traditional setup with Bernardo in midfield. Got another one of these. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Dundee 2, Ross County 0. It's Scott Tiffany with his second of the afternoon. It was a low 20 yard shot. It's kind of skidded off the surface. Wickens did get a touch, but it goes into the back of the net. Right, where were you? Lauren Shankland?
I was just saying that it's an interesting point Hugh makes, because I think the argument was probably about 6-8 weeks ago, or maybe a wee bit before then, was he going to go? Was he going to get on the plane? He was doing everything right to get on the plane, but I think everybody accepted that he wouldn't be a starter, because Steve Clark would just go for what he believes in, what's been in the past with Dykes and Adams. However, the goals he's scoring, the variety of goals he's scoring against everybody that comes up against him, he has put himself in the frame. I wonder, you know, does he go right in? Just a natural goal scorer
The way I would come at your question would be, well, how could he not come in? You know, if you're so clearly the outstanding candidate, how can you not be there? What would hold you back?
No, not that he'll be at the Euros to start.
I think I missed. Did I miss one of these as well? I think I might have. Yeah, I think I did. Let me tell you about this. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. So many goals at once. We're level again at Pittodrie. Aberdeen 2, Hibs 2, Marcondes. There was a VAR check, but the goal stands. And what a game we've got in our hands there. It is Aberdeen 2, Hibs 2.
So in the space of 4 days, the aggregate score at Pittodrie is home team 5, visitors 5.
You're certainly getting entertainment under Neil Warnock.
Yeah.
Plenty of goals. And I've got to say, I don't think it'll be finished. I think there'll be a winner there. I really do. I think there'll be a winner. And obviously, we're listening to Dave. Big crowd in at the Tawdry. They'll be expecting Aberdeen to go on and try and win this. But that's the game of the day for Dave Galloway at Pittodrie.
Yeah, look, for Shankland, the two sides of it are quite obvious. If you want a guy, if you're picking the guy who scores the most goals, obviously you pick Lauren Shankland.
Yeah.
But there are loads of managers at loads of levels of football that would want to stick as close to their kind of style and their tactics. And if he feels that Shea Adams and or Lyndon Dykes does that, they'll play first.
I think that's the point I was making, because you know everybody sees a striker, he's scoring goals, then he must play. However, the setup for Steve Clarke, he's pretty pragmatic in terms of being hard to beat. It often starts from the front line and how you press and the positions you take up to make it difficult for opposition. No doubt we need to think about that when we go to the Euros, because the standard of the sides we're playing against is going to be good. So that might just be where he reverts back to a Dykes or an Adams rather than a Shankland, who's going to press the way he wants to. It's an interesting debate. I don't think we'll fully really know until the final weeks.
It's also understandable, not right, and the man not picking right or wrong, it's understandable that if you're Steve Clarke, because this is where international football is different, you've got different players playing for different teams in different systems at different levels. If you're Steve Clarke, it's not wild to think that he might look at his previous Scotland games for performances that he's going to try and replicate. You know, he's going to get at the Euros and think, well, see what we did against Spain, I want to do that again. See what we did against Denmark or whatever, that was a while ago, I want to do that again. And that's where it's not like, I get he's scoring loads of goals, but it's still not crazy to think that he might go for Adams or Dykes on the back of
I think it's a stick on, he'll go for Adams or Dykes.
Oh, you'd go that far?
Yeah, I think it will. I think that's the way Steve Clarke works and operates.
Thinking about Shankland.
Oh, listen, I'm Shankland fan all day long. See someone that scores the goals and the type of goals, and he's scoring regular, the confidence he's getting in, everything about him, absolutely brilliant. But I think you put a great argument up there by saying international football, different players. I've seen guys at club football years ago that played with Rangers and Celtic playing at the top of their game, and every time they went and played with Scotland, didn't perform to the levels that we all know they can perform. I'm not saying that with Shankland. So that's why I think international football, completely different. Steve Clarke's got a success because that's the way he operates. Shankland will be a massive part of it, don't get me wrong. But Adams and obviously Dykes will probably be number one just now.
Queen of the South have taken the lead. Marvin's team, Edinburgh City 0, Queen of the South 1. That should cheer him up a bit. Oh, chance at the back post for Danny Armstrong, but he's missed it. And Kelly are very much in this. Celtic fans will be getting nervy because they need a second, and Kilmarnock are threatening.
Well, you know, to go back to the well-worn, draws a disaster, defeats a catastrophe. So, you know, Celtic have to guard against the draw at the very least.
Armstrong is one of those players who can hurt you out of nothing. Celtic will be well aware of that from the previous fixtures against them. So they just need to tread carefully here.
We need that second goal.
Oh yeah,
we need that second goal.
He's now gone into the book, Danny Armstrong. He's had a busy few minutes. Sam Nicholson's replaced Lennon Miller for Motherwell, who trail now thanks to that Lawrence Shankland header.
We need the bear now, Gordon. We need the bear.
And this is what,
bye, honey.
This is what Kilmarnock can do now. Options: Greg Stewart and Kevin Van Veenon to replace Danny Armstrong and Marley Watkins.
Well, that's what I said earlier, Hugh. You know, Kilmarnock have got a strong squad. They've got guys that can come on, change games. They're two experienced players, guys that can get you goals. Another threat, another
I remember chance. Van Veen going to Celtic Park with a Motherwell player, playing on his own up front, and he terrorised Celtic the whole day long.
It was his last visit to Celtic Park when Celtic took the lead and Motherwell equalised through Kevin Van Veen, and it finished 1-1.
Well,
so, there you go.
Yeah, so him coming on is a red flag for Celtic.
Just to let you know, Gordon, I've produced again.
On the teaser, have
you?
Yeah,
what got
a player.
It. Yep.
What a player. Give us the question, Hugh, and I'll remind the listeners.
I have played alongside Didier Agat and Paul Hartley. I have been managed by Ian McCall and Alan Pardew. I won my only major honour in Scotland and I captained the team to victory. I've never played a professional game for a club in the country of my birth. Who am I?
Is it Mark Viduka, says Harris?
Well, Mark Viduka, a great player. No, it's not him.
Is it Rob Jones?
No.
Sorry, Stephen Graham. And what about Julian Speroni?
Goalkeeper? No.
Delphi Law, got that one wrong. Keep your guesses coming. There is still time on the Who Am I. Gordon Deal might have it.
What do you mean, mate?
No, I said, as in, he might have it, but you can still
okay.
Take calm down.
Good shout, that. Again, I'm well impressed with you in this.
I had a good fight with this guy.
Okay, we'll get to that right. When the answers
good Barney.
On the pitch or off?
Revealed.
Off the pitch, yeah. A good Barney. And there's
now, I know that story. Now he's the getting penny's there. Dropped. I know this. Yeah.
And so will someone else in this show.
There you are, Brian Graham.
Oh, there we are.
Your colleagues are back level. A 77th minute Woody. Penalty. Inverness 2, Partick 2. Will we get a winner there?
Brilliant, yeah. Yep, Partick, as I say, always good for a goal. And they've got good players at the top end of the pitch. Brian Graham, Fitzpatrick, Wallace, Adeloy. Always good to get you something. Never dead. And buried. So 2-2. Will we get a winner?
Don't forget, we're not far away from opening those phone lines. So when this is all said and done, you come on here and tell us what really happened this afternoon. Celtic fans, you probably are in that nervous period of the game, but whatever happens at the end of Inverness 3, Patrick Thistle 2, Nathan Shaw.
You went
Inverness
too early.
Back in front. I told you, these guys clueless in here. You can put us right round about 5 o'clock. Whatever happens on the pitch today, whether it's a victory for Celtic that stretches their lead, whether they're pegged back and it hands the advantage to Rangers, you can give us a call. Looking for as many opinions on today's football as possible on 0141 951 1025. If you didn't know the number, stick it in your phone, write it down, give us a call in about 25 minutes time. And for you Rangers fans, you're not left out, because we will of course preview the trip to St Johnstone. There is a check for a St Mirren penalty. There was a cross into the box. Ewan Anderson, the referee, he's not been told to go to the monitor yet, but we will wait
that,
and
that
see.
Would be the height of irony. Stephen Robinson, the man who yesterday said VAR is a waste of money, and he might be about to profit.
We'll be happy about it today.
Yeah.
Funny that, isn't
it? Is that a penalty?
Don't know yet. Need to wait and see. Need to wait and see. Not been told to go to the monitor yet.
Davey Martindale, the Livy manager, has had a lot of bad luck with VAR recently. So he'll be
still waiting.
Fingers crossed. It'd be ironic though.
Everybody misses penalties at Livy anyway, even if it's given. So they know. Even my young team missed a penalty last week at Livy on the stadium as well. Livy's missed a good few. Rangers missed one as well, I think, this season they are.
The one that McCausland
yeah, it shouldn't have been given.
Yeah, it says the VAR decisions.
Panel. Do you know whose take on it? Oh, he is going to the screen, so it looks like it will be given. Do you know whose take on it I found interesting? You don't have to agree with it, but I just don't know if I've heard it before from a manager, and that's why I liked it. Stephen Naismith, did you see his? So his take on it was that ultimately he's in favour of VAR, but that's fine because, you know, everyone's got their own opinion. But I think it was important that somebody called part of this out. He said, because that list that came out, the 13 mistakes, I think three of them impacted Hearts, certainly a couple. So he would have the right then to have a mump and moan about it. But he said that there's been decisions that have affected us. For me, that's not down to VAR, it's down to decision makers. It's new, there are mistakes. But he says what hasn't helped is the outside noise, sound bites to stoke the fire. Every club knows the process, what the process is, and it doesn't suit every individual agenda, which can deflect away from bad performances or results. And I think that is important. I think as fans and people who, we're allowed to kind of say what we want as fans, but people who are in the game, I think at times should maybe know a bit better. Kind of act, they do all this, like, well, I don't even know why then. Why is that not been checked? And why is this been done? And who was the manager as well earlier this season that was moaning because an offside wasn't clear and obvious, even though offsides are not meant to be clear and obvious?
Yeah.
You wonder if the managers don't know this stuff, and if they don't know it, learn it, or if they are being selective, as Stephen Naismith's alluding to, in terms of deflecting and so on.
Or can you simply have a contrary opinion to Stephen Naismith?
No, that's that. In the least offensive way, he's. I think you're missing the point. It's not about that. It's not about whether you like it or not. It's about whether you haven't bothered to learn the process, or you do know what the process is as a manager, but you're secretly throwing a little soundbite out there to deflect away from your own performances?
Well, I would look at, for example, Stephen Robinson, who's St Mirren side have had a decent season. Is he in need of deflection?
Nah, they'll not score it anyway, to be honest with you.
Missed it.
Have they told you?
Terrible
penalty.
Nobody
scores a penalty.
Terrible penalty. Not a lot of power on it, and it was saved. So they have indeed missed it, St Mirren.
Oh well.
Ground curse for penalties. But listen, I'd agree with Stephen Naismith. I think he's right. I think there's been a lot of that this season, that managers, pointed decision. Look, the biggest one, people think, oh, Celtic and Rangers, and I'm only saying this because I feel, come on. But a lot was made of that decision, and it wouldn't have affected the outcome. But it got glossed over, you know, the actual performance on the day from Rangers and their failings on the day, particularly in that first 45 when they had the chances that they had. And everything was about the decision and how that could have impacted for weeks on end instead of the team's actual failings. And I don't think Rangers are the only ones guilty. I think that's been evident throughout the season. So I think Stephen Naismith's spot on with that one.
And there is a genuine frustration for everybody around this area. I get that, but I think if you were to mark it down, if you were to watch the way managers sometimes contradict themselves, where they'll, on one hand, they'll bemoan and say, "We're only supposed to be checking for clear and obvious errors. Why are they checking that? Why are they getting involved?" But as soon as something isn't, they'll say, "Oh, the technology's there. Just use it. Just check it." Well, that's funny, because 2 weeks ago you wanted minimum intervention. That's the bit that people need to make up their mind on and need to be consistent.
Human nature.
Deflection. Hypocrites. It's called deflection.
So close to 2-0.
Yeah, but deflection is human nature.
So close to 2-0 for Livy as well. After that penalty miss, Stephen Kelly tries to lob Zach Hemming after a poor clearance, but it goes wide. Paolo Bernardo, decent chance. Not a sitter or anything, but he should do better than blazing over the bar as he did. So it remains 1-0. It does look like Kilmarnock's little period they had has pulled back a bit, but it's still only one. And I'm sure Brendan Rodgers would rather a bit more comfort heading into the end of this one.
Well, it's going to become a goal scoring contest as well, between Celtic and Rangers. And if it finishes 1-0 for Celtic today and Rangers go up to St Johnstone tomorrow 3-4, that's an indication of who's currently the more potent of the two teams.
Big result for Alloa 4, Cove Rangers 1. Taylor Stephen with the goal round about 5 minutes of the 90. I remember, was it the start of this season when Hibs had goalkeeping injury issues?
Yeah.
They've got them again. David Marshall is coming off. It looked like a face knock, actually, and Wallacott is going to come on. So a change in goal, which obviously you don't see too often. And David Marshall coming off, hopefully nothing too serious for him. But if it's a face knock that's forcing him off, we've seen a few of them in recent times. Hopefully he is okay sooner rather than later.
Well,
just quickly, the Gordondale Derby. I've just spotted
it.
Airdrie 2, Air 3. It's a great game. And that's Airdrie pulled one back, so they were 3-1 down.
I was impressed with the two in the cup. I thought Air gave a good account of themselves at Ibrox. And I agree with Mark. I thought Airdrie played very well against Hearts. Just the quality outdone them. But I was impressed with the standard of both of the teams, I've got to say.
Yeah. Going okay for Scott Brown so far since he's come in. No easy that, taking over midway through a season, then try to put in your ideas and your philosophy, and sometimes you need to limp through until the summer, until you get them pre-season. But actually, results going well for him so far.
You love Brownie, don't you? I have never met anybody that loves Scott Brown like this boy, man.
There's plenty out there.
There will be no hat-trick for Scott Tiffany. He's gone off, 81 minutes gone. He got a double for Dundee, probably set them on their way to another important win. Probably the type of win that sums up Dundee this season. You know, minimum fuss home game.
Yeah,
Ross County, you are favourites for it, and just do the job quietly.
Yeah, I keep going back to every week. Tony Dock taking that job in management, it's a big step for him, but he's just taken to it so easily. But see, signings, I think his signings have been good. Tiffany, you know, such a standout for Thistle in recent years. Good player. Gets his rewards today.
Oh, Inverness 3, Partick Thistle 3.
Go on,
what
Thistle!
Drama in the Highlands.
Oh, it's Big Brian again.
Graham again, 86 minutes gone. You're a busy man this season. He's got his women's team in the final of the Sky Sports Cup as well in a few weeks' time. Of course, we'll play for Partick Thistle the day before. And the scheduling being moved around to facilitate, which was the right thing to do, I think, quite clearly.
Well, they had the dress rehearsal. Was it last week?
No.
Did you see the Partick Thistle go up? It was disallowed.
We talk about VAR and the type of uproar we would have.
By the way, Brian was in my office Monday morning after that, and he was still as angry then as he was at half time. He had a
was
real
it the one
at
the Pearsall? Yeah. I think I've seen that.
Wow, it was quite something.
What happened?
Well, there was a throw in. Rangers player tried to take it in her own box. She kind of let it run across her body, but stumbled as she did so, and Partick nicked the ball back, played to the edge of the box, shot goal. The referee gave a foul because the player stumbled.
It was a weird one. He was standing right next to it. It was a strange decision. Anyway, double change for Kilmarnock. Watson and Murray on, Polworth and Kennedy off. It was David Watson that got Kelly's one goal at Celtic Park the last time the sides met in the East End of Glasgow.
Well, they're running out of time. If the change is to be effective, it'll need to be practically instant. But I'm sure the Celtic crowd are shifting in their seats.
Do you know, if Celtic go out of this, say 1-0, you would still say, there's another positive. They went to St Mirren today, clean sheets, and they've not got their strongest back four, let's be honest. So you can always take positives out of games, even if you win 1-0. Well, I'm sure Celtic fans would be delighted with that now.
Not long to go everywhere, so don't forget your chance to phone in and tell us what you've made of the day's action. 01419511025, write it all down. So Celtic fans, whether you're, well, we'll just hold fire on that, because we'll see what the outcome is. But whatever happens, you can reflect on it, and we'll look ahead to Rangers tomorrow. We'll have a look at the other results from the day coming in, some that are in the balance. Are you giving up on your team, Gordon? Can you get a late equaliser at Tynecastle? Can the Bear come up with something?
Well, we're hoping. You're always hoping for that one chance, and you know, away from home. But you've got to be careful, because Shankly could put the game to bed. 1-0, you would take a point right now, I'll tell you that. But Motherwell have been known for their late comebacks, but it was mostly at Fir Park. So we're just hoping, fingers crossed, the Bear, get the ball in the box and let him do his business.
Marconde is with a header saved from Kelleroos. That one's in the balance as well. Are we going to get a winner there between Aberdeen and Hibs? 2-2.
We'd probably both settle for the point right now.
Think so?
Yeah.
Very evenly balanced up there by all accounts, even beyond the obvious scoreboard, which is balanced.
What did I tell you about Nick Montgomery's Hibs teams? 2-2. I mean, that must be about the seventh 2-2 since he took over.
Yeah.
Half chance, Kilmarnock into the side netting. David Watson, we said, has come on. He scored on his last trip there in a 3-1 defeat. He's hit the side netting, just a half chance. It's getting a bit tense as well at Livy. Mm-hmm. Davy Martindale's been booked. And David Friel says the Livy fans are as loud as he's ever heard them. You can insert your own joke about whether that's a low bar or not. But they're getting animated there.
Standing next to each other going, sing a wee bit louder, you two of them. But I've got to say, I agree with Mark. Did he not start his career in Scotland 2-2 down at Kilmarnock?
Yeah, he
likes that.
He said so many.
I'm waiting for a little St Mirren goal to get a full cooping up this afternoon on here.
What, your racket on here?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No financial gain.
No, just pride. Just pride
at play.
Pride.
Well, I'll tell you what, Hugh. Let's leave room for late drama.
Okay.
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Didier Agat and Paul Hartley. I have been managed by Ian McCall and Alan Pardew. I won my only major honour in Scotland and I captained the team to victory. I've never played a professional game for a club in the country of my birth. I am Stuart Lovell.
Stuart Lovell, well done if you got that right. Thought that was really tough today, but nothing gets past you because you know it all. Graham McLaughlin in third place, well done to you, Graham. Craig Meikle was a little bit quicker in second, but the winner, Ben, no surname, just Ben, well done to you. The winner of the second half teaser, you knew your Stuart Lovell stuff. and you can take the bragging rights away until next week. What was the clue that did it for you?
Oh, there are a few. Alan Pardew was Reading, I think. Ian McCulquhoun is South, Livingston Cup, and Australian didn't play in Australia.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Never mind about that. Who won the fight between you and Stuart?
Ah, there was only one winner.
What was it over? It
was a dispute that he got wrong, and he come on and tried to tell me that he was right and he was wrong. But listen,
we made up.
We're very good friends.
His PFA days, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Stuart was representing.
And then
PFA
Wishart come on the phone. He settled everything down. He was a calm collective. You know, Fraser. Come on, Daz, please.
That's because Fraser knows how to deal with your nonsense, yeah. I suspect.
I'll get you a wee glass of red.
Oh, I was in her ear 3 days. That's when I was grateful I had a director of football just to pass it on to him.
Take the heat off you.
He was fuming when he came in the office. I loved those days. Brilliant.
That was a good moment.
4 minutes added at Tynecastle. Is there to be a late Motherwell equaliser there? The full time whistle's going down. The league's already. Guthrie on for Yenge for Livy as they look to hang on. 5 added at Celtic Park.
I can only imagine the nerves, not only for the players, the fans, obviously. It's tough, but if you're a player, you're looking up at the scoreboard. It's about game management now. It's not about trying to be sparkling and play nice football. You are in a genuine title race.
Fraser Wishart has been in touch. His recollection of it was, it was like giving a child a lollipop to calm down. that sounds about right, I would say. And we do have a late goal at Tynecastle.
Come on,
late
Bear.
Drama, is it, or is it Hearts putting it beyond all doubt?
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's Hearts putting it beyond all doubt. It's Kenneth Vargas. Hearts' wonderful run continues. It's a spin and a shot across Liam Kelly, and the Jambos are absolutely flying. They're going to win this one. No points for Motherwell in the capital today.
6 league wins on the bounce. Can't say fair on that.
Do you know the worst of it is the results that are going there? Aberdeen, how is Motherwell down to 9th again? Dropped down 2 places. That's a sore one.
Goal at Celtic Park.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's an equaliser for Kilmarnock. It's David Watson. We said he scored on his last trip there. He's come off the bench and it is level. What a big, big goal that could be in the title race. Celtic 1, Kilmarnock 1.
Well, you can put an asbestos covering over that telephone, because at 5 o'clock it's going to be red hot. The draw is a disaster. They have fallen into the trap. At the first sign of pressure, Rangers beating Ross County midweek, and although failing to go top, level with Celtic, and Celtic have blown it at the first opportunity. The Rangers fans will be absolutely delighted. They'll go to Perth tomorrow, ecstatic. By the end of that game, Rangers will be 2 points ahead of Celtic at the top of the league. You can tell me now about narratives. You can tell me now about people talking about crisis and what this city's like and how this, that and the other. Celtic have blown it big time.
VAR is checking it. Well, that's, you know, that's par for the course these days, though. It is checking it for a foul, and that will be an extra layer to the drama. So we'll have to wait and see. It's checking for a foul in the build-up, in the attacking phase of play, as it is known. We were deep into the 5 minutes added on there as well at Celtic. But listen, what are you meant to do? You've got to commit. You've got to act like the goal's been scored, or you suck all the drama out of it.
Regardless of the VAR, you've got to say, with the reports, the last 5-10 minutes, it sounded like it was building, it was coming, a couple of chances for Kelly.
VAR check. Goal given. Level at Celtic Park. What a dramatic end to this game, and what a big moment that could be for the season.
Listen, I said just before half time, Derek McInnes, although he'll be unhappy with the fact that they're losing 1-0, he's got players now on the bench that can come on and turn a game for him, and that's exactly what's happened. I said that Celtic would have been, you know, feeling good about their sell a clean sheet, and they would have, because it would have got them the 3 points. But once again, questions of their defence, and take nothing away from Watson. He's put the ball in the back of the net where it counts.
Well, Alejandro Bernabe felt he was pushed in the back, The referee or the VAR didn't accept that that was a clear and obvious error, and the goal has stood. So what a dramatic end. Celtic fans, give us a phone. What do you make of that? I suppose some will reckon the Celtic left back just needs to be a bit stronger in that regard. Let's go full time. Tynecastle, Roger, Hannah's there.
Hearts 2, Motherwell 0, a double in the second half from Lauren Shanklin and Kenny Vargas, taking Hearts' incredible run to 11 wins and a draw in the last 12 games and cementing them in third place. They're on their way to European football next season. Motherwell started reasonably brightly. Jack Vale had a chance at either end of the first half. In 3 minutes, he fired across the face of Xander Clark's goal, and in 37, after being freed by Harry Payton, he fired wide when he really should have hit the target. Stephen Naismith's response was a double change at the break. Nathaniel Atkinson and Vargas coming on for Lembe, Kisa and Beningame, and they looked far better in the second half. Motherwell had a couple of half chances, Lennon Miller heading over from a corner, but Alan Forrest was denied by Liam Kelly. Shanklin then had a drive that was deflected off target. The breakthrough was coming, and it came finally in 67 minutes. A free kick from Forrest floated in, and there was Shanklin in acres of space to head his 25th club goal of the season past Kelly. Motherwell's defence really should have kept a tighter rein on him. Substitute Vargas, he hit the post with a spectacular effort from Atkinson's cross just moments later. Motherwell threw everything at it. On went Opika, on went Nicholson, on went Ferry. Payton had a drive deflected wide, but with Motherwell pushing forward, Hearts always carried a danger in the break. Kelly had to save from Forrest again, and then in the second of four added minutes, the Jambo sealed the points. Kenny Vargas spinning in the box and shooting across Kelly and inside the far post. Motherwell claiming for a foul in the build-up to the goal. The two benches were going at it. Stuart Kettlewell and Hearts number two Gordon Forrest both booked, but the goal stood. Everything's going the Jambos' way at the minute. Hearts 2, Motherwell 0.
Good win for the Jambos. Their brilliant run continues. A chance for Kilmarnock to win it, saved by Joe Hart. Fraser Murray with the chance to take all 3 points for Kilmarnock. It looked like they were going to go home with none. They've left it late. David Watson equalising, and then Fraser Murray with the chance to snatch it. What an afternoon in the east end of Glasgow, Hugh.
Yeah, as I say, stand by, get your tin hat on, because the Celtic fans are coming on. And what they're coming on to say is that the team's lightweight. The team does not have enough players of stature to get them through what they have to get through now. And I don't care what anyone says, they have been going that way since the end of the winter break. The Ross County performance, booed off the park, dropped a point at Pittodrie, then got away with it at Easter Road, a belated penalty kick, got them out of jail there, and St Mirren rode their luck at times.
Full-time Celtic Park, Gabriel.
Full-time Celtic 1, Kilmarnock 1. Boos ringing around the stadium at the full-time whistle after David Watson's 90th minute equaliser cancelled out Kyogo's first half header. What a massive goal that could prove to be in the title race. Celtic have left the door open for Rangers to move 2 points clear at the top of the league tomorrow. And in the first half, Celtic played well enough. They moved the ball with a bit of purpose. They were camped outside of Killie's box for a long time, and the pressure eventually broke the visitors down. Anthony Ralston, with a lovely floated ball, stood up at the back post to Kyogo, who managed to find space and head the ball back across the goal to make it 1-0. Matt O'Reilly had a double chance on the stroke of half-time. First volley was saved, and then a header was cleared off the line. He will have been kicking himself. It wasn't two before the interval. And thereon, it seemed pretty straightforward. Celtic 1-0 up, just had to see the game out. But they started to slow in the second half, Gordon. They allowed Killie back into this game. First, it was defender Joe Wright, who had a good header saved from an in-swinging free kick. Then Danny Armstrong spurned a chance at the back post. The warning signs were there for Celtic, but they didn't do anything about it. The crowd around me started to get jittery. The players did too, and suddenly it felt like a backs-to-the-wall performance. Derek McInnes' game plan to stay in the game, working to perfection. All they needed was one chance, and after throwing on plenty of firepower from the bench, their golden opportunity finally came. It was good work from Fraser Murray down the left-hand side, across deep into the box. And there was David Watson, the teenager, to head in at the far post, scoring here just like he did a few months ago. That was deep into stoppage time, Gordon, and you could just sense the energy sap out of the stadium. A huge result for Killie. Another massive point and another brilliant performance in a big game. They stay fourth, and their quest for European football is well and truly on. But what about this for Celtic. They'd won 8 out of 9 coming into the game. Brendan Rodgers had questioned the negative narrative surrounding his team, but it is only going to turn up now, Gordon. Winning is the most important thing at this time of the season, and Celtic have failed to do it. What a huge moment in the campaign. Full-time at Parkhead with boos surrounding the players as they go around the pitch. Celtic 1, Kilmarnock 1.
Wow, what a result in the East End of Glasgow. Celtic fans, how would you sum up your feelings after that? Call us right now, 0141 951 1025. What did you make of the performance? How damaging do you fear this could be come the end of the season? There's been so much said about where the team is at in recent weeks, but it is drop points. 01419511025. Call us right now and let us know how you are feeling. Bizarrely, no other full-time whistles yet. Oh, sorry, Dundee, Fraser Wishart.
Dundee 2, Ross County 0. A deserved win for the home side, Gordon. 2 goals by Scott Tiffany in either half the difference. County, though, did have their own chances and played quite well, but couldn't convert their pressure and their chances into goals. A good first 45 minutes to watch. Chances at both ends. Lyle Cameron is the man most likely for Dundee. A few efforts and Wiccan save at full stretch when he tipped a fierce shot from 25 yards by the Dundee midfield player wide in the third minute. The closest the midfielder came to scoring. County had their own chances. Brophy and Murray lively. Carson saved from both his best as a point from a point blank. Murray 6-yard header. Great reflexes by a big keeper to turn the ball away. But the opener came right on 45 minutes. Dan Costello slid a lovely pass in behind the Ross County defence. Scott Tiffany used his pace quick on it, 1-1, and showed great composure. He just rolled the ball low past the goalkeeper Wickens into the back of net. County started the second half brightly. Dundee defending well, a few blocks, clearing headers. Dundee, they almost got the second though. Dundee in 52 minutes. Luke McCowan given too much room in the middle of the park to line up his shot. 25 yards out, he struck it sweetly. It was heading for the top corner just at the last minute. It had come off the outside of his boot, it just curved away and just inches wide of the goalkeeper beaten. And Dundee could have done with that comfort of that second goal. County knocking at the door, looking for that equaliser. Brophy inches over with a well-hit 20-yard shot. But the second goal did come in the 66th minute. Cameron tried to feed the ball into Bakayoko, and Aina intercepted the ball. It fell to Tiffany, who quite cleverly took a touch. He was going to pass it back to Bakayoko, who'd have been offside, but instead he drilled a low shot from 20 yards. The ball skidded off the wet surface and into the net despite a touch from Wickens. That knocked the stuffing out of County, who'd played well. A string of subs by both sides. County sub Josh Sims shot a yard wide, but you didn't feel they were ever going to grab a lifeline, and Dundee saw the game out comfortably, much to the delight of their supporters. Excellent season continues. They're now on the tail of St Mirren and Killy in the top six with a game in hand. But for County, they've got a huge game next week against Livy, just 3 points between the teams. Full time at Dens Park, Dundee 2, Ross County 0.
Finished at Pittodrie, Dave Galloway.
Yes, Aberdeen 2, Hibs 2, and what a game we were treated to here this afternoon in front of a huge crowd. Hibs going ahead after 12 minutes, Maizian Malida slipped in Martin Boyle, who went round Kelleroos to very coolly slot the ball home. That lead lasted just 3 minutes. Boyan Majovski's volley parried by David Marshall, and Nicky Devlin forced the ball in. Open and competitive stuff with a few meaty challenges going in just for good measure. Hibs keeper Marshall slapped away a dangerous corner whipped in by Connor Barron, and also came off his line very well to deny Majovski, who'd raced through the middle. The away side looking dangerous coming forward, as were Aberdeen, and Leighton Clarkson slid to meet Majovski's cross only to see the ball hit the bar. However, Hibs went close with Maulida's shot from a tight angle, forcing a decent save out of Roos. 6 minutes into the second half and the Dons went 2-1 up. Duke did very well to set up Leighton Clarkson. He picked out Jamie McGrath, who showed excellent composure to slot into the net from a few yards out. It was 2-2 though on 67 minutes after yet another VAR review. Really good work by Joe Newell down the left, and he found sub Emiliano Marcondes, whose fine emphatic finish was originally flagged up for offside, but that was overturned. Hibs lost David Marshall to injury following his save from Boyan Majovski, swivel and shot, with Jojo Wallacott replacing him after a few minutes treatment for Marshall. Hopefully he's okay though. He was led off the pitch with not too much difficulty. There looked to be nothing between the teams, and Newell's cross from found Marcondes, but he headed straight at Roos. And then deep into injury time, Aberdeen really should have won it. Majovski just had to do a whole lot better at the back post from Jack McKenzie's cross. But overall, a really cracking contest in front of an attendance of over 18,000. It finished Aberdeen 2, Hibs 2.
I can see the phone lines lighting up. Celtic fans reacting to that result. They're going to come very, very soon. So get your thoughts over on 01419511025. Last but not least, it's finished in Livingston, David Friel.
Yeah, full time, Livingston 1, St Mirren 0. I've never seen Livy fans happier. David Martindale just did his very own version of the Ronnie Roar Gordon. He's a happy man. It's finally happened. After over 4 months, Livingston have won a league match. They'd gone 17 games without picking up 3 points, but Tete Yenge's winner ended that horrible run. They're now just 3 points behind Ross County with the teams meeting next weekend. Livingston, I think we've all written them off as relegation certainties, but David Martindale's side are certainly now in the mix to stay up. Special mention to Shamal George as well. He made a huge penalty save from St Mirren's Mikael Mandron. First half was pretty quiet for 47 minutes. There wasn't even really a clear-cut chance, but then Yenge put Livy ahead. Ayo Obelai's low shot was parried out by Zach Heming. Yenge slammed the rebound high into the net. St Mirren came out, dominated the second half. They almost levelled in their first attack. Mandron thwarted by George. Greg Kelty follow-up headed off the line by Michael Nottingham. St Mirren just kept pushing. They had loads of pressure, but Livy defended so well until 76 minutes. Toyosi Olasanya on as a sub. He went down under a David Carson tackle. Ref Ewan Anderson was sent to check at the VAR screen. He gave a penalty. Mandron took the ball. One of the weakest penalties I've ever seen. Shamal George made a great save. Up the other end, Stephen Kelly almost made it 2-0 with a lob. It was getting really tense. David Martindale got booked. Mandron then missed one of the biggest sitters you'll ever see right at the death. In at the back post, completely unmarked, somehow fired wide. Livy, they had to put all their bodies on the line, but they held on for that precious win and are now full of belief that they can stay up against all the odds. Full time, Livingston 1, St Mirren 0.
01419511025. What a day of Scottish Premiership action. It's changed again at the top because Celtic have stretched the lead, but by 1 point, held at home to Kilmarnock. And I can see the phone lines lighting up, you Celtic fans. What did you make of that? 01419511025. We'll get you on next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a day it was in the Scottish Premiership. Celtic thought they were cruising to that 3 points, but Kilmarnock had other ideas late on, and it's Celtic 1, Kilmarnock 1. Big wins for the likes of Hearts, a huge win for Livingston, a share of the spoils, Aberdeen and Hibs. But there's only one place to start, because Colin is a Celtic fan. How do you feel tonight after that, Colin?
I'm absolutely disgusted what's going on at Celtic. I'm absolutely livid beyond belief. I was with my pal tonight, his name's Scott. The 2 years left at 85 minutes, we said, that's it. We've got 3 points in the bag. Pressure's back on Rangers tomorrow, and you can hear my voice. I am absolutely livid. Brendan Rodgers has to walk tonight. Oh, that's it. The league is 110% done.
Well, the one guarantee you have, Colin, as livid as you are, Brendan Rodgers will not walk tonight. That will not happen. But I do understand that your disgust. Midweek when Rangers beat Ross County, and there was a great song and dance about them not scoring enough goals to go top. But they had then gathered the same number of points as Celtic, having played the same number of games. And at the first hurdle thereafter, Celtic have fallen. And they have fallen because of the bad transfers that have taken place. They finished up with Burnaby at left back, and he was partly responsible for the loss of the equalising goal. Celtic didn't do enough to try and get a left back, and they are full of lightweights like Yang and Kuhn and O and all the rest, Paulo Bernardo, and that's why Rangers are now red hot favourites to win the title.
Did you see that coming, Colin? Because there's been a bit of a divide in recent weeks where some people are saying that this is over the top. Everyone's been too negative about Celtic. They're top of the league, Brendan Rodgers amongst them, and other people saying no, but there was a 7 point lead. There's now not. Performances are not good enough. Which one were you in? Did you see this coming?
I seen it a mile away. Brendan Rodgers should have never. I tell you what, I'm not disgusted. I would take Michael Beale into Celtic. That's how bad Brendan Rodgers is.
You're at it. That's the emotion talking, I would suggest.
But listen, Colin, could I just say one thing to you? 5 minutes ago, you said to us that you'd left the ground after 85 minutes thinking points in the bag. So you'd decided Celtic had won anyway.
Oh, they haven't now, have they?
No, but you left the ground believing that's it. I've seen enough. That's the points in the bag.
Yes, I did, because I had to leave.
Therefore, you got it wrong as well.
Right, Colin's in despair at that. What about Frank, who's on the line? Frank, how would you, if I was to ask you to keep it clean, but sum up how you feel after that performance, what would you say?
Yeah, same as Colin, absolutely disgusted. I think the worst decision Celtic made this season was bringing Rodgers back. It's been the worst transfer we've ever had, as far as I'm concerned. And I agree with Colin. I think the guy needs to walk tonight. He's taking us backwards. I've lost off a shift going to watch this draw that he's put out today. And I'm not happy with it. I was on twice last week talking to you about the very same thing, and your pal, Mr. Keevan, slated me for it. But as I say, I'm sticking by my word. He needs to walk tonight. There's no ifs or buts about it. Rodgers definitely needs to go. He's taking us backwards.
What, I mean, in terms of the likelihood of that, Frank, with a team being top of the league, and I know it might not be for long, right? But is he seriously going to walk it when the team's at the top of the league, I suppose, is what I'm asking?
We're only at the top of the league to tomorrow.
Yeah, again, I do get that, Hugh, but it just feels like, well, there are degrees of crisis, and the Celtic fans might feel like they see something coming, but are we really in that territory?
Gordon, I have to give you one man's opinion. My opinion. You can laugh, roll down a hill, do what you like. He won't go tonight, but it's crisis time, because the fans are telling you so. The booing at the end of the game. There'll be 2 points behind Rangers by 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. They've still got to go to Ibrox. They're away to Motherwell next week. I wouldn't put two bob on Celtic winning Motherwell next week. I repeat, shocking transfer window, two of them. Lightweights brought into the club, and they are now paying the price for serious misjudgment. And the people, the recruitment staff and the Brendan Rodgers have let the club down in that regard.
Frank?
Aye, they have, definitely. As I say, Mr. Rodgers needs to pack his bags tonight and never be seen anywhere near Parkhead again. He's an absolute disgrace. He's took his backwards for Dave Anthony came back. To lose the gap that we had, that should never have happened. That league should have been done and dusted for Christmas. And if he thinks I'm going to be paying good money every week to go and watch that dross, they can ram their season ticket. Honestly, it's absolutely shocking. Never seen anything like it. There was not one player on that park today would have got pass marks from any team, not even a junior team.
What annoyed you most about the performance, anyone in particular?
What annoyed me most, 3 minutes before the full time whistle, before the 90 minutes, Brendan Rodgers stoning laughing. That's what annoyed me. Brendan Rodgers, he was on every screen in Parkhead stoning laughing. Don't know what he was laughing at, because it's no funny.
The thing, the cruel thing about this city is half of them will disagree with that last sentiment, I'm sure, because Frank is very annoyed, shall we say. Brendan Rodgers should not have smiled before the end.
Oh, he shouldn't, because let me tell you, Celtic fans and everybody concerned will pick it up and hold it against him. I said at the beginning of the show that Brendan Rodgers was quite right to come out and defend his corner, fight his case, say what he has to say, be bullish about it. I agreed with that. But
it
when
does set you up for this stuff, though, doesn't it?
What I'm going to say, Gordon, is when you do that, you have got to back up. And you've got to back up with a result against Kilmarnock. When they were 1-0 up, I'm thinking, right, okay, the positives for Celtic would be there wasn't the 2-3 that Celtic fans wanted. 3 points, it's a clean sheet. The goal they gave away, nothing against Kilmarnock, but defending is absolutely ridiculous.
His entire press conference yesterday was a mass exercise in deflection. He went on about those who try to insinuate that there's a crisis. There is now. And this city and the way it conducts itself, well, this is the city. Get on with it. And he couldn't stand the pressure day one after Rangers had gone level with Celtic. At one point, he even said there was never a stage when Celtic were 7 points clear at the top. Factually incorrect. So he spent the whole afternoon deflecting. And it's all come back now. Dramatically to bite him in a sensitive area.
The only thing I'll do is just quietly before Mark comes in, the only thing I will say, Hugh, and I totally agree about Brendan Rodgers, agree with the guys coming on and being angry at the manager and whatever, right? But I still look at the bigger picture and I look at the quality players they've still got in that pitch at Celtic Park. Should be good enough to go and keep a 1-0, you know, even though they've not been at their best. Listen, get quality players there.
With respect,
keep pointing a finger at Brendan Rodgers, and I totally understand style of play, and he's the one that's standing out there. He takes the brunt of it. But sometimes the players got off too lightly for me.
Yeah, but listen, look at the back four. Bernabe, I mean, the fact that he gets any part of the game at the moment is ridiculous, because he doesn't merit being on the park at all. Scales and Welsh are honest-to-goodness plodders, but Celtic spent £7.5 million on Laga, Bielka and Navrotsky, who never even make the bench now, because the last two transfer windows have been devoted to shovelling millions of pounds down the gurgler.
Have you given up all hope of this title already, Frank?
Definitely. They'll go top tomorrow and they'll stay top. The way we are playing, we'll be lucky to finish third.
See, this is
absolute disgrace. What's annoying me more is the fact that Celtic have got all that money sitting in the bank. Sack Rodgers tonight, pay them what they need to pay them to get rid of them, get them out the door. They've got the money to do it.
It would cost Celtic...
Just quickly, this is where you know that there is that heightened sense of it. Celtic will not finish third, right?
No, of course not. No.
Let's be clear about that. Yeah. But Marcus, there's a lot of strong feelings out there.
I know. Let's just be clear. That's over-the-top stuff. How can there be a crisis? We're far from a crisis just now. Celtic have played poorly in that last 45 minutes. They've not lost the game. They were really poor in that 45 minutes. And they could have lost it. So I get the anger and the frustration and the raw emotion from fans going along and not being happy because Rangers are right in their coattails. And it's the first chance, or the second chance, should I say, that Rangers have got to overtake them. But people saying Rodgers should walk tonight. Come on.
Matt, you're a Celtic fan. Are you not worried?
Oh, but that's different.
That's why the fans are coming. Listen, that's anger. Right, okay, some of them will mean it, but most of them will realise, and Hugh's right about the crash. It's a little bit because everybody thought Celtic had this league tied up. No doubt about it, so did I, to be quite honest with you.
But did you really? The league tied up in September, October.
I think there was a lot of you saying there
that there was a lot of mileage still left in this when Beale left. A lot of you saying that.
I don't think you can underestimate the severity of this result today. They have, at the first sign of pressure, crumbled, and they don't have players who are good enough to come back from this. The lightweights don't come back from this. And the central defensive pairing, as I said, honest to goodness plodders, but £7.5 million wasted on two players who'll now have to be got rid of somewhere if Celtic can manage it.
Final word to you, Frank. Sum it all up then before we let you go.
He's got to go. No doubt about it. Pay him. But they owe him on his contract, get him out the door. That's all I'm going to say, but I don't want the guy back again.
Well, I think you can tell Frank's emotional about it all. What about Chris on the line? How would you sum it up, Chris?
Oh, Gordon, honestly, man, I can't believe that I'm be watching. Absolutely disgraceful, honestly. Frank's absolutely spot on. He needs to go tonight. I know it will only happen. If he's getting anything about him, he'll walk tonight. That was disgraceful. I'm listening to Mark going on there saying that second 45 minutes. Apart from that, the first half was as bad as the second half. They were disgraceful, shocking. Same rubbish every single week, side to side, back, side to side. I honestly don't know what I'm watching, and I don't know how he can watch it and be happy with what he's watching. It's terrible. The guy needs to go, simple as that.
I mean, Brendan Rodgers spent this week saying, you know, the outside narrative, the negativity was coming from elsewhere, but it certainly sounds, Chris, like a lot of Celtic fans are not happy.
I couldn't tell you one guy that can be happy got to the Celtic games and watching that. There can't be. There cannot be. Like we're going. I heard you saying there as well. I know you're not saying it, but you're saying, Celtic are still top of the league. They had a 7-point lead, and tomorrow Rangers will go top of the league. You know what I mean? It's terrible, man. Shocking. I can't believe this is where we've got to under Brendan Rodgers, who we thought at the time was the best guy for the job. He's not the best guy for any job. Get him out now.
Yeah, for the record, I mentioned Celtic being top, not as if that's going to make anyone feel better, but in response to the or to float the suggestion of, is it likely that a manager walks whilst top of the league? That's all I mean. I'm not saying Celtic fans tonight should go, oh yes, we're still top.
I think, first of all, I as ever on this programme, the fans are good enough to call us and we're appreciative of their calls, but forget Brendan Rodgers walking tonight. It will not happen. But Celtic are in deep trouble, and if you deny that they are in deep trouble tonight, then that's what you're suffering from, denial. Because Rangers will be 2 points clear by 2 o'clock tomorrow. The next Old Firm game is at Ibrox, with the the way the Celtic defence is, I would shudder to think what the outcome might be. They are, and I repeat, lightweight from back to front.
Chris, are you confident you still feel like this Monday morning? Is this the emotion talking?
No, it's not. Honestly, Gordon, I'm angry just now, but I've been even the Ross County game a couple of weeks ago, we won 1-0, I think it finished, and I was this angry then. It's nothing's changing. Nothing's changing. I don't know how they can watch that and be happy with what they see, what Brendan Rodgers puts out there. It's terrible. They don't play any kind of football. I watched for 10 minutes. Kilmarnock had just penned in our own box, and Matt O'Reilly played a ball for right back to Joe Hart in the centre of the goal, and he just got it away in time. I'm like, what am I watching here? What is it I'm watching? It's crazy. Crazy stuff, honestly.
What do you think out there? Are you agreeing with Chris? There's a lot of passionate stuff coming in on these phones, and there's plenty more where that came from.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
A lively start to the phone lines tonight, and that is because Celtic drop points at home to Kilmarnock. They are still top four now, but a huge opportunity for Rangers. Any victory tomorrow would do it against St Johnstone in Perth. 0141 951 1025. Kieran, how are you feeling tonight? Kieran, can you hear us?
Yep, I can hear you. How are you doing?
Yeah, all good. How are you?
Not great, I'll be honest with you.
Who's to blame today?
Brendan Rodgers, definitely. Absolutely terrible.
Do players ever take any responsibility, Kieran?
To be honest with you, they should, but they never do. But the be-all and end-all is the buck stops to the manager. I'll no sleep tonight. I think it's absolutely ridiculous what he's doing to our club. My season ticket will be gone. It's a shambles, absolute shambles.
That balance, Gordon, I mean, not to me, I don't really mind who the Celtic fans think is to blame, but you do wonder about some of those players, and then whether it does then come back to recruitment. You look at Burnaby, how weak it is for the goal. There was a claim for a push. I don't think anyone seriously thinks he was pushed beyond the realms of what is and isn't allowed under the rules. Just the players need to give a lot more as well.
I think so, but I think it's a full package. I think we can pinpoint a lot of things. Recruitment, transfers, the players that have come in. Nicholas Kuhn comes in for a lot of money. Hugh goes on about it, quite rightly so, about the centre-backs. A lot of money paid out, not being seen. There's a lack of sharpness about the team just now, especially at Celtic Park. Ross County booed off. Today, Kilmarnock probably could have great opportunity to win it at the end. Joe Hart pulls off a good save. It's not the fast-flowing football Celtic fans are used to. So their anger's getting vented now at the manager. The manager came out this week and puffed his chest out and, you know, was talking a lot about the negativity round about. The negativity tonight is coming from Celtic fans, Gordon. Not the media, not the pundits, not the people that are sitting in here. The Celtic fans have had enough. They've come on. Everyone that's come on so far want Brendan Rodgers out. I'm agreeing with the lads. Brendan Rodgers will still be the manager, but he has got a massive job to do to lift everyone.
How did you sum up the performance, Kieran?
Listen, do you know what? The performance was absolutely dreadful. But if you want to go back to, you mentioned Burnaby. He's not fit to wear a Celtic shirt. He's absolutely dreadful. And if you want to go back to Brendan Rodgers as well, I agree he won't leave. He should, but he won't. And to be honest with you, he's just a salesman. All his interviews, everything, it's just trying to deflect. And do you know what? Us Celtic fans, we're not buying it. It's an absolute shambles.
I mean, Mark, again, we will swing from detail to big picture because you can't help it. I don't really want to go over the transfer window again right now because we've done it a million times, but it's evident on the pitch when you watch it. Don't want to hang one guy out to dry because there was loads, but Burnaby clearly plays a key part in the goal conceded. Should he be Celtic's second choice left back? Should he be playing as much as he is? Because you've not got anyone else when Greg Taylor is either injured or returning from injury as he was today.
No, he shouldn't be. And I hate being harsh on players because I know how difficult, people think it's easy playing for Celtic and you've got a lot of the ball. I know how difficult it is, but I hate being harsh. But with Burnaby, no, the answer is no, he shouldn't be. Now that's a failing on the part of recruitment, Brendan Rodgers himself, not bringing someone in. But when you get given the jersey and you get put on, you have got to be more resolute than Burnaby is. Now, I made a joke when Burnaby was coming on for Taylor. I said, oh, you'll get entertainment one way or the other. It's a bit chaos coming on. So I knew he would do something. I just didn't know what side of the pitch it was going to be at.
So in hindsight, it's not the entertainment you were looking for.
No, but I knew there was something that was going to transpire when I'm coming on. And, I mean, so weak defensively. If you look at the goal, you know what I think that is from? And I've been in that position a lot of times. That's lazy defending. That's, I don't want to challenge for this ball. I feel a wee bit of pressure on me, so I'm just going to hope that the ref gives a push.
That's lazy defending. And do you know something? You're talking about, like, I've tried to defend this guy week in, week out, because I just think that players that come in to Celtic and Rangers, we judge them after two or three games. I think that's a bit unfair. So try and give. But also, when you look at Burnaby, he's not coming the cheap. He's come in for a few quid as well, Gordon. So if you're a Celtic fan there and you sit and you calculate up the amount, and Celtic fans, oh, we've got so much money. Look at the money that Celtic have put down the drain.
Look at the January window. Could
make this bit short just so we can not go over old ground too much, right, but it is valid.
Could £3 million worth of not good enough. And the Norwich City sub, who is good at taking penalties and won't make it at Celtic. That was your January transfer window.
Let's bring in Tom, who's on the line. Tom, how would you sum it up?
Guys, how we do?
Good, you.
Far from ideal, but I just have to say, we're still top of the table and this isn't over by a long shot, let me tell you that.
So you think all this stuff is a bit over the top, Tom?
Guys, over the top? It's absolutely crazy. The Celtic fans need to get a grip. The sense of entitlement we get from this mob, week in, week out, and I'm there with the boys, home and away, and I see it. I see the hatred for the players, for the team. Why would the players want to go and put on a show the Celtic way with that baying mob, baying for blood? It's honestly, it's beggar's belief.
I mean, I can't speak on behalf, because I don't have that emotional attachment, Tom, but the ones that you say are entitled would, I think they would say in response that this is more about the regression and failing to build from a position of strength and all that sort of stuff. Not buying any of that.
I do buy it, you know. I see their point, I take their point, but I say back to the boys, the chance towards the end, towards the board, they're a bit disrespectful. They need to understand that's the same board that gave us treble trebles, quadruple trebles, and presented players such as Larson in their day, you know? Larson, Sutton, Lennon, all the old boys, all the biggies. And, of course, you ever served up a little bit of a poor calibre of players just now, but I just think it's not over by a long shot. We're still top of the league. People need to realise that this is not over.
Probably, and nothing's guaranteed, but probably only until tomorrow, though. So tomorrow night, you drop that defence?
Guys, the Super J's is a hard place to go.
It's true. Listen, I don't know. I don't predict matches, but I think on paper, clearly, Hugh, people expect Rangers to win.
Rangers will be top by 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Tom's use of the expression that being mob pay the same price for their season ticket as Tom, and are entitled to hold an opinion. They may hold it in a more vociferous way than Tom cares for, but that's the fact of the matter. That being mob pay the same price for their ticket. This, for me, the one about chanting against the board, that's just an old football cliche. Fans of all clubs do that. The board appoint people to look after the playing side, the manager and the head of recruitment. The manager and the head of recruitment, to one degree or another, have brought in 12 players over two transfer windows, and not one of them, not one, will be a long term player at Celtic Park.
Where I'll agree with Tom just quickly, I think Rangers will win tomorrow, go top of the league like everybody else. I think the pitch up there is terrible, but I just think they've got enough quality. I agree with Tom the fact that I don't think this is end of the league for Celtic, but I agree with the fans that have come on and had a real go at the players and the manager, that if they are going to stay in this title race, if they are going to beat Rangers to the title, things need to improve massively now.
I like Tom's call purely because it's nice to hear the other side of it. It's been very much anger and frustration so far. Tom's trying to put a bit more of a calm perspective on things, which is fine as well. How does Paul feel?
Hi.
How's it going? How would you sum it up, Paul?
Well, you know, Brendan Rodgers is the biggest fan and defender, but a couple of baffling decisions, Gordon, today. I couldn't understand why he wouldn't have put Scales at left back and bring Nabrowski on. And I know Hugh's going to say because he's no trusting him, but Kilmarnock played very well and they're a very good outfit. And Derek McInnes has got them full of a lot of seasoned pros. I thought, you know, until Greg Taylor went off, Celtic were okay, they were in the game. But he brings Burnaby on, absolute disaster, no protection. Takes Maeda off, who's able to protect the fullbacks. The lad Coon will not even show for the ball. Now, you know I'm a Mikey Johnson fan, but at least you got him trying and showing for the ball. We've sent him out on loan and spent money on Coon to replace him. That baffles me. And the other more worrying thing is Matt Lawwell's get out of jail card used to be in the Cheshire suburbs. He would get as a Frimpong or a Guidetti or a Boyata, you know, Patrick Roberts. There's no sign of any of that in terms of bringing quality in at the transfer. So, and apparently the chat is that Brendan Rodgers, everybody that's put in front of him, he rejected. But for him to put Burnaby on, it's just, he can't even shield the ball. You know, it's basic stuff that you're taught at schoolboy level. And it was always going to be a ploy to attack the left back area as soon as he came on.
This is not meant to be as unfair on Mikey Johnson as it's going to sound, but are things worse than we thought, Paul, if you're pining for Mikey Johnson? And I don't mean that, like I say, that sounds terrible, but he's not really made an impact that you would want in many, many years at Celtic, and now we're to believe that, you know, he can make a difference.
Well, would you call him Jota? Slipped out the door for $6.5 million without any comment whatsoever. And don't be wrong, Jota could blow hot and cold, but you've lost Carter Vickers, you've lost Hatate, and Kyogo's a shadow of his former self. So the spine of the team has been decimated by one thing or another. And that's not an excuse, that's just a fact. But to allow the exposure, I mean, you could see within 2 minutes he Burnaby been on the park, notwithstanding the crowd being at him, that Kilmarnock were just targeting him, which, and why wouldn't you? You know, it's like a schoolboy game, honestly. Basic stuff. And, you know, I thought Callum McGregor was on it. I thought Greg Taylor was outstanding, up to went off. And as soon as he went off, I think that's more worrying, that as soon as Greg Taylor goes off, you lose your shape. And I just, you could see the goal coming. So more worried about his tactical nous, and, you know, worrying that the get out of jail card that we always had with the City group seems to now have disappeared.
Well, if you want to hear the thoughts of Brendan Rodgers, you can hear them right here next.
You have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL have got their tin hats on. It has been a very, very lively open line so far. We've still plenty of time to take more calls, and let's hear from Brendan Rodgers.
Well, it looked like up until the end that we'd get away with it, that it would be a good result on the back of a poor performance. But we didn't in the end. So, poor result, poor performance, and we lacked authority with the ball. We lacked composure and all the things that you need to do to control the game and look nervous on the ball, and, you know, especially second half, created nowhere near what we would want to, you know. So so give credit to Kilmarnock. It's, you know, they play a system that you have to really work with, but you have to be good on the ball. They play man to man, so you have to be able to deal with the ball with pressure and be able to play forward and run forward, and we didn't do that enough today. Whatever comes our way today, we would deserve that. I've said it a number of times. We've played okay and got the results, and that momentum was building, you know, our last performance against St Mirren on a tricky pitch was a really professional, good performance. But today it wasn't that. So I feel for the supporters. I said to the press afterwards, there's kids that have travelled all around the country and across from Ireland and everywhere to come and see their heroes and dream of them being them one day, but that wouldn't inspire them for sure. It just wasn't anywhere near the level that we would want, sadly, so we have to accept that.
It's too late for the romantic hokum now. You can have all that talk about people coming over from Ireland. It's not washing. To talk about we nearly got away with it, you're not supposed to get away with it. You're supposed to build some form of momentum and put Rangers under at least some semblance of pressure in Perth tomorrow. None of that was achieved. I thought yesterday he sounded downbeat, and I've said before today that I thought he had a mass example of deflection with what he was saying yesterday. And today I think he knows the truth of the matter, and the truth of the matter is Celtic are bang in trouble.
What about John and Hamilton's take on it all, John?
Absolutely disgusting, guys. Good evening, sorry about that.
No, you carry on, don't worry.
I would have Rodgers out the door, the Mora, absolutely. I would have half that team out the door as well, but also I think the board need to stand up and take their fair share of the blame here, because they're sitting here with £75 million in the bank, stagnating their club and sending it back the way, when we should have been well ahead of Rangers for years to come with the money that we have, but we're actually going to be behind them come the Mora. To me, not good enough. Rodgers needs to go. The board need to take a long, hard look at ourselves, and so do half of the players.
You'll have heard it before, John. You're entitled. You know, you expect no challenge. This is a title race. Get used to it. Why don't you buy any of that?
It's the same old we hear from Brendan Rodgers week in and week out. You can take a look at that team. Most of your supporters have seen this coming, not just for the last couple of weeks, for the vast majority of this season. We've watched the team go backwards and play this tippy-tappy, sideways football that's just no suited to our team. And like you say, we've got too many lightweights in there as well that just can't carry the ball. And we've been found out today, and we've been found out in previous encounters this season as well. And it's going to cost us the league if we don't stand up now. I'm not saying that this Rangers team are the greatest team, and there's still a fight there, but if Rangers had a decent team, we would be buried now. Absolutely buried.
Well, look, I can totally understand the fans being angry at today's performance and some of those performances along the line as well. But
have there been many genuinely good ones?
Standout ones? No, not so much this season. You know, on the previous couple of seasons, you could say, wow, that was good to watch, and it could have been much more. There's not been many of them this season. I agree with that. But are we really at the stage that fans would take the manager leaving and walking out or being sacked at this stage? Is that realistic? Is that, fans are entitled to their opinion. Of course they are. And this entitled thing, I do think there's something behind it. Celtic fans want the best football, the most entertaining and the most productive at the end of the day. Celtic have been years ahead of Rangers. Celtic should have been years ahead. Celtic have been years ahead of Rangers. But there's no guarantee that that is going to last from now to the end of time.
To go back to John's point about £70 million in the bank and the board and what they are doing or not doing with it. Celtic spent the best part of £20 million over the last two transfer windows.
It's not the amount, is it? It's where it's going.
Yeah, exactly. And none of them are worth keeping. £20 million. They've already shipped out the hopeless cases, and there are more hopeless cases to go at the next transfer window, but they have spent money.
Yeah, as hopeless as they've been, Hugh, and these signings have been, Celtic still sit, will be at 1 point until tomorrow at the top of the league. So it's not been that hopeless.
Yeah, but what's the starting point though? But that's what people mean. Have they gone backwards? That's where the hopelessness. And I get exactly
backwards.
That's a strong
from
word.
Ange Postecoglou's first season and second season. Of course.
Or from the 7 point lead that they had.
Oh,
that's
point
where the
lead,
anger's
yeah.
coming from.
Yeah, without doubt. But Rangers, Celtic have dropped points, gone backwards. Performances haven't been good enough.
at the same time Rangers have got better. Surely that's to be expected sometime.
Like Celtic
from
fans
now to
are,
the end of history.
Celtic fans aren't angry that Celtic are top of the league, obviously, as you say, but they're angry that the last couple of months have looked like a regression.
Of course, I can understand that. The product on the pitch hasn't been good enough. The quality of player, I think, in the starting 11 and a couple of those that sit on the bench is still there, without doubt. But the performance, the standard of player.
Yeah. Who? The ones that they brought in the last two windows.
I'm not saying them. I said in the starting 11. You can't tell me Kyogo, Matt O'Reilly, Cal McGregor, and Alistair Johnson, Carter Vickers if he's fit.
Now that is obviously good players there. I think that's daft
I think the biggest worry is you see Rangers with the new manager, they closed the gap. They were closing and closing and closing. I think the worry for Celtic is now if Rangers go top tomorrow and then this keeps going, Rangers will start going further and further and further away. Yeah, Celtic couldn't manage that just now. I totally take on board what Mark's saying about the starting 11, whatever. Hugh's right. The amount of money that's been wasted is unbelievable for Celtic. But they need to change something very quickly or this title's slipping away.
But they can. There's no transfer window. Therefore, they're stuck with what they've got. And what they've got is unsatisfactory.
Let's bring in Stephen and get his thoughts as well. Stephen.
Hi guys, how are you?
Good, good. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm annoyed about one of the previous callers because he came on and he said, I pay my money just like everybody else. Folk are overreacting. Also, why would the players play when folk are booing them or they're getting annoyed? See, at the end of the day, these guys haven't just won a lucky dip and they're getting to play for their childhood team. They're getting paid thousands of pounds a week. If they can't try when they're getting paid thousands of pounds a week, when are they going to try? But at the same time, I also feel like it's not just we're not going to be top of the league tomorrow. I think it's on the bigger picture. It is today with Celtic going out the cup, Celtic been poor in the Champions League again. The transfer window in the summer, the transfer window in January. It's the same old, same old. It feels like the kind of COVID year all over again. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, because I think that is important, Mark, because you're talking about facts and league tables and points gaps until tomorrow, but sometimes there's a feeling. And you remember, I don't know if it's going to be the same, of course we don't, and that was very, very dramatic circumstances. There was a feeling in the COVID season, as Stephen says, that this is just heading one way and one way only. Can that be reversed this time? We're a long way from that, obviously.
Well, that remains to be seen. If you're a Celtic fan, you'd like to think so. You'd like to think that the club as a whole is in a better position than it was that season. They've got better players running throughout the spine of their team than they did that season. So you've got to hope that it's reversible. But I totally take on board your point. There was a feeling that ran throughout that season that this was never going to get better. That culminated in fans gathering outside and ugly scenes for the players and the staff involved, and it resulted in Neil Lennon losing his job. So I can totally take that on board. But by the way, Stephen's right. The players haven't won a lucky dip. I said at the start of the show, when it gets to this period and you play for Celtic, you're analysed on your ability, but your character as well, to stand up to moments like they had today when they're 1-0 up to see you out the game. And unfortunately, I'm not, I hate to single players out again, but Burnaby clearly showed a lack of desire at the back post. He'll claim that he was pushed, but we could all see that he wasn't. That's the problem. Too many of those performances from players throughout the season leads to where Celtic are at the minute.
You got faith that Brendan Rodgers turns this round, Stephen?
Again, I'm like other callers, I'm not going to say Brendan Rodgers out because it's not going to happen. Let's face it, these guys aren't going to walk away by getting sacked and walking away with a couple of million quid. You've just got to use your head. But is it going to be turned round? I don't know. It's hard to gauge because, as I said, the football's been pretty crap all year. It's not the same football we had the kind of two previous years with Ange. They really struggle to break down teams, and it's the same old every week. We're eating out these kind of 1-0 wins, and as Brendan Rodgers said, we thought we'd kind of get away with it, but
every week for the last 4 or 5 or 6 weeks or whatever, it's the same old, we're getting away with it with one goal. And as Mark said there, Burnaby, 4 or 5 weeks ago, he was crap, and he's on again. He's on every week, and it's the same. He's a bomb scare.
It's football. It's, you know, you're, as I said, you have to be deal with that. Obviously, there's an anxiety in the stadium, but it's nothing for the supporters today. You know, they were great behind us, and this is on us, and we have to accept that was a poor performance.
Interesting though, Hugh, because what we still have to acknowledge, whilst everybody except Rangers are big favourites, I don't think many people will come on here and predict a St Johnstone win. It just shifts the pressure, it shifts the psychology, and now we find out if they can handle that. And then if, like you and everybody else expects they do, then you become the hunted rather than the hunter as well. So we are in for, we're in for quite the ride between now and the end of the season by the looks of it.
But Rangers will be top by 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and have for weeks shown that they have that kind of cunning about them, and they are growing in every respect.
Well, that's the point. I'm not saying they don't, but what we just haven't seen is what it's like when Celtic are chasing and Rangers are the one being chased. It's just an observation. I'm not for a second saying Rangers can't do it. Well, but we've not had it yet. That's what I'm trying to say. It's new.
My observation is the manager, Brendan Rodgers, is beginning to sound as if he's lost, and he's beginning to talk in riddles. And the supporters are seeing right through it. They don't have the players of sufficient quality to withstand what is coming. And what is coming is a Rangers side who are only going to get stronger and stronger. And Celtic next week away at Motherwell on the Sunday, by which time Rangers will have gone 5 points clear of them. And therefore Celtic are now in a position where they need to stage a recovery, which I, on a personal level, don't think we have the players who are capable of doing so.
Not for a second suggesting, Gordon Dale, that you need any extra incentive. But if there was even 1% of a fan base or a player or whatever who was a bit uninspired about a trip to McDermott Park on a Sunday lunchtime, this changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. Rangers players, everybody concerned, they'll have a spring in their step for tomorrow, Gordon. Great opportunity. You get back to that big question, I think this is where the worry comes in from the Celtic side of it. They're going to be the chasers. Have they got the character? Have they got the players? Have they got everything about them to do that? That's the question mark they're now getting asked, and it'll be interesting to see if they can answer it.
Big day of football, big win for Livingston, big win for Dundee, big win for Hearts, a share of the spoils, Aberdeen, Hibs. But the big story at the top of the table, how big was today in that title race? Celtic slipping up, dropping points at home to Kilmarnock, a huge chance for Rangers at St Johnstone tomorrow. And whatever happens, we look back on it all from 6 o'clock on Monday. You will not want to miss it. Make sure you join us, and the GBX is up next.